Coming soon,
the greatest untold story of college basketball.
Into Heidner's turnaround jumper's good!
The legendary 1963 Ramblers that broke racial barriers across the country.
Segregation of the races at all levels.
There were times that we feared for our lives.
How did this team change the sport forever?
It was the beginning of modern basketball.
Loyola Project, a documentary film by O'Malley Creighton Productions, narrated by me, Lucas Williamson. Coming soon.
That's for sure. Actually, coming today, 720 WGN. I'm John Landecker, and it's my pleasure to welcome Patrick Creighton to WGN, the director of this unbelievably great documentary called The Loyola Project. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, John.
I have to tell you, just right off the bat, I love the movie so much. I would recommend it, first of all, for everyone. It was moving. It was infuriating. I can't even say the word. Let's go this way. It was moving. It made me angry. It made me laugh. It made me literally get emotional. It is just a great, great film, Patrick. I just need to tell you that right off the top.
Thank you very much.
And I'll just set it up this way. This is the story of the Loyola Ramblers going to the NCAA championship. At least that's what it is on the surface. But there's so much else going on in this film. And the irony of the introduction at the beginning of the documentary, we have Loyola coach George Ireland, who is obviously white and is losing. A lot. So much so that the white student body of Loyola hangs its white basketball coach in effigy. And the idea of white people hanging white people at the beginning of this movie, by the time you watch it, to me at anyway, looking back at the beginning of it, how ironic. I don't want to I don't want to give away anything in this movie that you don't want to be broadcast, because I think people are going, well, so what? It's about this team. Yeah, it is. But there's so much more going on. What would you, let's just get to what you would like to say about it.
Well, thank you very much for your kind words. My wife and I have made a lot of movies over the years. We've made a lot of documentary films. Nothing has touched me so emotionally, frankly, than this story. I'm a lifelong Chicagoan. I grew up in Riverside. I went to Fenwick High School. My first job was in the Wrigley Building, working for WTTW, learning how to make documentaries. So, I mean, I'm really connected to the city, and I never knew the story of the 63 Ramblers. If you went to Loyola, or if you're a diehard college basketball fan, you probably have heard about them. And then in 2018, when Loyola went back to the Final Four, that incredible Cinderella run, with Sister Jean and, you know, Coach Mosier and that crazy run that they had, that team kind of brought back the story of the 63 Ramblers. And yet there was so much there that really hadn't been told. And for us as documentary filmmakers, that seemed like a really interesting opportunity to really dive in deep. We spent 2.5 years making this movie, and I think we came up with something that's really special.
Oh, that's an understatement. Yes, it's about this Loyola team, and it's also about racism, not only in the United States at the time, but also in Chicago, and also, quite frankly, in college basketball sports, which, according to the documentary, there was an unwritten rule about how many black players, if you had any to begin with, how many you could play under what conditions. Can you give us that stat?
Yeah, absolutely. There was an unwritten rule in college basketball at the time that said that a coach could play one, I mean, this is crazy. I'm talking 1963, not 1863.
I know.
That a coach could play one black player at home, two if he was on the road, and three if they were behind. That was how the unwritten rule was understood at the time. And everybody followed that rule. You know, higher education at the time, and certainly today to a certain extent, is overwhelmingly white. You know, the students and the alums and the faculty, in the 60s, it was very, very white. And so these coaches were faced with this challenge of like, well, how many black guys can I put on the court until there's, you know, blowback? Coach Ireland, to his credit, and, you know, he was a stubborn Irishman. He needed to keep his job. I mean, he was in jeopardy of losing his job. So he went out and recruited the best players he could get, many of whom were black players. And he ultimately ended up breaking that unwritten rule, and he started four black players, along with a guy named Jack Egan, who still lives in River Forest. He's a local kid, went to St. Rita. And the five of them went out and had this unbelievable run that culminated in the championship game of 1963. It seems kind of dumb and outrageous that was a rule that people followed, but they did. And to Coach Ireland's credit, he blew right by that and went on and had an incredible season with him and his team.
One of the other aspects of having a African American player was, first of all, you had to get African American players. And there was a movie that came out in 2006 about the 1966 Texas Western basketball team called Glory Road. It wasn't a documentary. Mm. It was a dramedy. And coaches went to New York, as did Ireland, to check out, I guess, playground basketball or African-American players who were on the courts in New York to recruit them. Isn't that
Absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Definitely Harlem was kind of a hot spot. And I think that has a lot to do with the sport itself. You know, if you're playing football, or hockey, you know, that's, you need a field, you need an arena, you need a lot of equipment, et cetera. A lot of sports need a lot, you know, of money, frankly, mm-hmm. behind them
right.
To put a team together. Basketball, honestly, you need one hoop if you're going to play half court and a ball. That's it. So basketball is extremely popular in the inner city. And that's where people were really kind of creating a new style of basketball, and maybe call it the run-and-gun style of basketball. Old-fashioned basketball that goes back to the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, and even 50s, it was a slower game. The game was really kind of played on the ground, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And modern basketball, thanks in large part to the influx of African Americans who started playing and started getting recruiting, that was a game that started being more played in the air.
The acquisition of African American players and putting them on the team and then eventually on the court didn't solve to any degree the amount of racism that they were subjected to, not only when they played schools in the South, but also right on the campus of Loyola, where African-American players or any African-American student was not allowed to go to the barber shop, according to the film, that was right across the street. They were not allowed to get the haircut there. I mean,
yeah, that's one of the parts of the story that's so heartbreaking to me, is that the minute, you know, Ron Miller or Les Hunter or Jerry Harkness, the minute those guys walked onto the basketball court, they were heroes, literally. I mean, they were superheroes. They were so good at what they did. And Jerry described it to me as feeling like he was really free mm-hmm. when he stepped on the court. But when you stepped off the court, it was very different. And that's the part of the story that's really infuriating and heartbreaking, is there's actually a scene in the movie where the guys talk about, you know, coming back to campus, and they were encouraged to go, the black players were encouraged to go to the dances. They weren't allowed to dance with any of the women. They weren't allowed to. Now, listen, Loyola is an amazing university, and the Jesuit tradition is, it's almost 500 years old now. So it's not a criticism of the school. It's just that in that particular instance, one of the priests, one of the Jesuit priests, was abiding by the unwritten rules at the time. Mm-hmm. And frankly, right. A lot of us do that.
Oh,
I think
that's true.
What the movie, but the weird thing about the movie is, even though it was 1963, which is, 59 years ago, the story really resonates right now. We're grappling with race in our country. I don't know if you saw on the news. So Governor DeSantis of Florida is now pushing a law in Florida to prohibit public schools from teaching things about history that create discomfort or guilt among certain people. They're actually pushing that, and a lot of this has to do about teaching about our history with race in our country.
This is a very appropriate conversation. I mean, this is a very appropriate conversation and also a very appropriate movie for Black History Month. But I want to get back to the coach, George Ireland, who has, there are some things that are fantastic, and then there are some things that make you scratch your head.
Mm-hmm.
In the film, you'll find that the African-American players come here. They are scheduled to go to places like Houston, Texas, where they are literally in fear of their lives on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And that the coach would have those players on the team is great, but why would he put them in that kind of situation? And that's not the only example of taking this team into harm's way, so to speak.
I'm really glad you mentioned that. It's the players, the guys who played on the 63 team, one guy in particular, Ron Miller, was like, why would he do that? I mean, he knew that if we went to Houston, we were going to have trouble. I mean, it might get really dangerous. One of the players, Jerry, said that that night he literally feared for his lives. They were not sure if they would get out of that arena alive. It was so bad. But here's what's interesting. Lucas Williamson, who is a current, he's the captain of the Loyola Ramblers now. He's currently a member of the team. He's the narrator of the film, and he's one of the co-writers of the film. We worked extremely closely with Lucas, and his perspective on this story was really critical to how we told the story. He has a perspective that I don't have. I mean, I have a decent jump shot, mm-hmm. but I'm not Lucas.
Right.
So Lucas actually looked at the Houston trip differently, because Lucas actually said he said, I give the coach credit for pushing the envelope, because that's how change happens. So the none of the things that we talk about in the movie are simple.
No,
it's really not black and white. It's a really nuanced, complex story, and the decisions that were made and the results that followed are just really, they're just really interesting. But it's the thing I love about the movie most of all is it's all wrapped up inside of just a really fun, totally inspiring sports story. And unless you live in Cincinnati, the good guys win in the end.
I'm talking to Patrick Creighton, who is the director of a fabulous documentary that everyone should see that's coming out, I believe, today, called The Loyola Project, about Loyola University's trip to the NCAA basketball championship, which I can't recommend enough. And we talk about the coach, the African-American players, the segregation, the discrimination. And ironically, and I don't know how much of this story you want to tell, because to me, I had not heard this story until I watched the movie. I found this to be one of the most amazing parts of the movie. And I don't know if you want to give it away or not. I'm certainly not going to tell the details. But okay. What happens in Mississippi, a state that is run by Ross Barnett, who is a segregationist through and through, and had a ruling that no basketball team or any kind of team in Mississippi would be allowed out of state or anywhere for that matter to play any other team that had any African-American players on them, which meant that they didn't go to tournaments if they were invited. Yet, what the Mississippi State basketball team does in the year that the Ramblers it's go amazing. To the championship is one of the most amazing sports stories, socially significant, dangerous. I'm at a loss for words. My jaw was dry. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. That, and I don't I don't think you should even say what it is, because it's like,
yeah, it's like one of the guys said it was like Mission Impossible.
Yes,
what they
you've got to see this. You've got to see this movie to see what this all white team from Mississippi did, in effect, to help the Ramblers win the championship. I mean, it's just
totally
mind boggling.
Yeah. I don't want to give it away, but I will say that I will say this. When I first heard about Mississippi State and the fact that they were not allowed to play outside of the SEC tournament, the Southeastern Conference tournament,
right.
You know, they would win that conference just about every year for a while there. They were really good. But then the governor said, well, you can't play in these national tournaments because there's black players that play in those tournaments, and I don't want you to play against black players. It's just hard to even believe that someone would take that stance. But that was the stance that Governor Ross Barnett was taking in 1963. Here's what I'm embarrassed to admit. When I first heard that story, I thought to myself, those guys are jerks. Those guys on the basketball team. What a bunch
of... I couldn't agree with you more.
What a bunch of Southern... What a bunch of losers.
Right.
That's what I was... I'm embarrassed to admit that.
No, I think that's...
What you find out is...
I found out that... I thought the same thing.
What you find out is that they... Exactly. And what you come to realize is that they were just being used as pawns.
And that
they wanted to play Loyola. They wanted to be national champions because they're competitors.
Don't go any further, because I mean, obviously anybody can easily look through the pages of NCAA basketball history, and in fact, you know, obviously we're talking about a basketball tournament where Loyola comes out the victor, and they do have to. Well, they don't have to, but they do play Mississippi State, and how that happened is one of the unbelievable elements of this film that I don't even want to talk about anymore because it's just so incredible. And and I had not heard that before. It is just mind-boggling, like you say, Mission Impossible, just crazy. This is Patrick Creedon. He's the director of a movie, The Loyola Project, a documentary. When is it out? How do people watch it?
Our partners on this are CBS Sports. They've been amazing. So the movie is available on CBS Sports Network. They're going to be playing it throughout February and March. And then they're going to play it again during Final Four weekend on their main network, which is really kind of a big thrill for us. That's a huge audience, and it's timed perfectly to the tournament. But the movie is also going to be available on Paramount Plus, and that'll happen, I think, in early April, time to the Final Four tournament. And let me think. We have some screenings around town this weekend. And eventually, I mean, again, I literally just finished the movie Monday, so some of these things we haven't quite ironed out.
Right.
But the movie it'll be out there. And you're going to hear a lot about it in the months ahead. And again, Paramount Plus is the best way to find it. It'll be streaming there once we get to April.
Well, it's that good. So this brings me to maybe a premature question. So how many Hollywood studios have tried to buy the rights to make this into a dramedy? Because
none yet.
I'd get an agent and an accountant, because believe me, they're going to be knocking on your door. I mean, this is just...
You know what's really funny about what we do as documentary filmmakers, it's a small group of filmmakers who do these. You know, it's my wife and I, and there's probably six or eight of us who are the main team members. I'm getting a little personal here, but we don't make a lot of money. We try to put all the money that we raise up on screen.
Right.
And I hope someday somebody does a big Hollywood movie version of this, and we get Michael B. Jordan to star as Jerry Harkness or something like that.
Exactly.
But honestly, But to be really honest with you, we just take a tremendous amount of pride in making good movies based on real people's stories. And this is, of all the work we've done, this is something that we are just extremely proud of to have done.
Well,
and,
I didn't mean to imply that
would be cool.
I didn't mean to imply that was your goal. That was the impression that I got.
Of course not.
That's the impression that I got. That's the impression that I got after watching this movie, because I felt it was so compelling, so good. You guys just did a fabulous job with an amazing story, and I want to thank you again for being with us. Patrick Creedon is the director of a documentary about the Loyola basketball team that went to the NCAA championship and won. It's called The Loyola Project. I recommend it to everyone. Thank you so much, Patrick, for being with us, and all the best to you and everybody on your team.
Thank you very much, John. It's been my pleasure.